You knew the risks when you decided to drive drunk. There could be a crash. People could get hurt or killed. But that didn't stop you, did it? You knew you could get arrested. You could incur huge legal expenses, and you could possibly even lose your job. You were well aware of the consequences of driving drunk. But one thing's for sure. You were wrong when you said it was no big deal. Drive sober or get pulled over. This message brought to you by NHTSA.
Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Misha Tate, and you're listening to Carson's Corner.
This is Stitch Duran, and you're listening to Carson's Corner. Make sure you stay tuned in.
This is Justin Ray Harvey, Frank Duke's student. You're listening to the best of the best shows on the web and beyond. Carson's Corner with Bob Carson.
This is Bo, the one-man army Taylor, media darling and Midwest champion of the world. You're listening to the only radio show that's hard-hitting, keeps it real, and does not pull punches. Carson's Corner.
This is the coach, Sean Tompkins, and you're listening to the best in mixed martial arts, Carson's Corner.
Okay, let's go. Yeah, g'day. This is Justin Lawrence calling from my backyard in Australia, mate. You're listening to Bob Carson, the finest investigative journalist in mixed martial arts history. Listen to his show. I love it.
Hey, this is Joey Odessa, and you're listening to me on the Bob Carson Show, the show that lets no words barred give a whole new perspective to no holds barred.
These days, it's not much fun at Bally's and Caesars in Atlantic City. The CEO is playing the corporate greed game, cutting dealers' hours, cutting retirement and health benefits, even breaking the law by refusing to bargain. Yet he paid himself $39 million last year, with plenty of perks.
Place your bet.
When Bally's and Caesars play games with casino dealers, it's not fun for anybody. And everybody loses. That's why the UAW Atlantic City Dealers Union paid for this time.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the number one MMA show around the world. This is Carson's Corner, and my name is Bob Carson. I am pleased to be with you here. It is December 21st, 2017, and I hope you're getting ready for the holidays, folks. It's really, really a stressful time for everybody. I, myself, am going to be working, of course, but nonetheless, it is... Tis the season. Unfortunately, a lot of people wind up getting stressed out and taking their own lives during the holiday season. This is just an absolute fact. Later on in the program, I want to talk about the death of Bob Follis, Robert Follis, famed MMA coach, grappling coach. I want to explore this from a different angle, an angle that has not been explored by anybody. Very, very important stuff. And I was really affected by this. And I got to tell you, I was not surprised by this. You know, sometimes we have intuitions about people. I know I do. I can really tell sometimes about people and just the void in their lives and the feelings that they're going through. And I almost feel like I have like a sixth sense or something like that. And I saw Bob Follis and I've been following him. Never met him, never interviewed him. Very, very nice guy by all accounts. Great coach. Very intelligent guy. I listened to a number of interviews he did on MMA Junkie Radio. And by all accounts, everybody liked him. But I knew there was a void. I knew that there was just something with this guy that he had quote-unquote demons. And I want to talk about this because Ryan Van Doon, my friend, has done a lot of reporting about another suicide, which I'm going to give a lot of details on, and I want to sort of talk about things that I think are important and should be examined in the world of mixed martial arts, sort of along the lines of gossip in the world of mixed martial arts. But we don't have gossip today. We have a guest on the line. His name is Wild, and he has a great MMA website. It's called the MMA Community. I'm trying to pull it up here on the live stream. It is the go-to site now. It's been around for a while, and I've been posting. They've been supporting the show for quite some time, and it's really an alternative to the underground forum. And I want to kind of pick his brain. I want to ask him a bunch of questions about his forum and about his background so we can sort of get a feel for what's going on with him. If you want to be a part of the program, you can at 347-326-9749. That is 347-326-9749. And a little later on, I'll probably be going to be talking about the UFC, Cyborg versus Holly Holm. You also got Floyd Mayweather now, apparently going to the UFC in talks with the UFC for $1 billion. I mean, this is just, I have a lot of opinions on this, of course, as you know, and we'll get to that right here on the program. But without further ado, let's go to our guest here today. We bring you a diverse group of guests from around the world, and everybody knows that. And we're welcoming now to the program the owner and operator of the ever-expanding the MMAcommunity.com forum, Wild. Wild, how are you today, my friend?
Hey, I'm doing well, Bob. Thanks for having me.
We appreciate it. Like I said, you know, we feature a wide range of guests on the show, and I'm very interested to talk to you about what you're doing with this forum and whatnot. But before we talk about that, I want to talk a little about your background and how you came to be a fan of combat sports originally. Can you tell the people listening a little bit about where you're from originally, where you're raised, and in general, what your early life was like?
Well, sure. I was born and raised in the Midwest in Indiana. I became a fan of the sport probably, 20 years ago, if I had to guess. I went to a buddy of mine's house one day, and he had a VHS tape of UFC 1. And he popped that thing in, and I watched it and just immediately fell in love with the sport. And I've been following it ever since. And, you know, I'm married with two children, and I'm in my mid-40s now, but I'm still a huge fan of the sport. And, yeah, I decided that, you know, I wanted to get into the website side of things. And I met my partner online, and we decided to go for it. But, so, yeah, that's kind of my background. Thanks.
Now, did you ever train? Did you ever get involved with either training or competing in some way, whether it was MMA or jiu-jitsu or anything like that?
I did not. And, you know, it's been something that I want to do. But, you know, in my mid-40s and with bad hips and things like that, I'm just not sure that it's something that, you know, and I work a full-time job and I have two kids, and it's no excuse, but, you know, it's something I would love to do, but I'm just not sure it's practical.
Yeah, see, with me, it was the other way around. I watched it. I actually started probably in the mid-90s, and the traditional notion is that you go to Blockbuster, Easy Video back then, you rent the UFC tape, and then you fall in love with the sport. And I tried the sport. I tried to compete, and I couldn't compete. And then so I turned to, you know, what the one thing that's easier for me to do, which is podcasting, covering the sport and whatnot. And so that's what kind of piqued my interest. But was there a particular moment or particular influence that specifically, you know, piqued your interest in fighting, or was it just seeing the UFC 1 for the first time?
Yeah, well, I was just so intrigued by Royce Gracie and watching him take on guys, you know, twice his size, and, you know, just the skill of jiu-jitsu and you know, watching him submit guys back then so easily. And I was just, you know, real intrigued by it, and I just fell in love with it. And then as I got to meet the fighters, I fell in love with the characters of, you know, and the personalities of the fighters. And, you know, most of them are just, you know, so approachable and accommodating and intelligent mm-hmm. and educated. And you know, it's just, you know, my love for the sport just continues to grow and grow as I meet more and more fighters.
Which fighters in particular have you met that have really, really maybe either surprised you or impressed you or just, you know, you had a different opinion on?
We've done, you know, Q&As with tons of fighters, but, you know, just off the top of my head, you know, some of the most approachable fan-friendly guys that I've met are Justin Gaethje, for example. You know, Justin visits our site from time to time. You know, for a guy as violent as he is, and you know, and as you know, just as violent as he is in the cage, he's just a super approachable, down to earth guy. You know, somebody Ricardo Lamas is another one. Ricardo Lamas gave us mm-hmm. a ton of his time and you know, was really accommodating to the members of our site, answered every question, extremely personable. Elias Teodoro is another fighter that I would consider to be, you know, extremely fan-friendly. Derek DeBeast Lewis and, you know, think, well, that's not somebody that I want to approach. I mean, he is extremely fan-friendly. You know, just, yeah. I mean, you name it. Tim Kennedy is a great guy that's given us some of his time. Ben Askren was our very first Q&A. We had only been launched like 3 weeks. We really didn't even have the layout that you see on our site now and the technology that we have now on our site. When we first launched, it was nothing like it is now. And, you know, I just decided, hey, I'm going to go out on a limb here and reach out to Ben Askren. He was like, yeah, sure, I'll do it. And he was great.
Wow.
You know, I mean, just I haven't really come across one fighter, whether they're a huge name and a champion or, you know, a preliminary card fighter that has not been willing to give us some of their time. And, you know, that's what really intrigues me about, you know, it gets me invested in them as fighters.
Yeah, I agree. And I've been interviewing fighters for a long time. I started back in really 2005, 2006. And I share your sentiments about MMA fighters. There's no question about that. You know, the friendliness, the willingness to talk to independent media and now some of the bigger sites is quite you know, impressive. It's definitely something that I really have appreciated over the years. At what point did you decide that you wanted to actively participate in discussing and analyzing it online? I mean, did you actively go looking for places to do that, or was it just the case of stumbling upon forums without having searched for them specifically?
Yeah, I would say the first forum that I joined was probably, I'm going to say probably back in 2003, maybe 2002, 2003, and it was Sherdog. And,
okay.
So I signed up for Sherdog. I actively went looking for online discussion because, you know, a lot of the guys that I ran around with at the time weren't as into the sport as I was. So I signed up there, and then ultimately I ended up becoming a member of, you know, several different forums. That's what kind of led me to have this vision of starting my own.
Yeah, many people associate the site you currently run with having grown out of the Underground forum. What was the Underground? I mean, obviously you started on Sherdog, but were you familiar with the Underground as you began discussing MMA?
Yeah, I had been a member there for probably 3 or 4 years at the time that I decided that, you know, that I wanted to branch out and do something on my own. And it's kind of, you know, I don't want to bash on other forums or anything like that, but you know, being a member there and of the other forums that, I'm sure, you know, a lot of your listeners are familiar with, just kind of motivated me to want to provide MMA fans with a better alternative, in my opinion.
Yeah, I'm very, very familiar with the underground. I mean, Sherdog, somewhat, and you have other forums like Fight Sport, which really, really, you know, was associated with a lot of trolling activity and whatnot. But what year, if at all, did you start posting on the underground?
Oh, I would say probably 2000. It's probably 7 years ago. So probably 2010, roughly.
What's your handle on there?
Well, I no longer have a handle on there. Once I launched my site, I was banned.
Okay.
But it used to be. So I no longer post there or anything like that. But it used to be iWildEachIt.
I see. Yeah, I mean, because, you know, you got a lot of top professionals in the sport, both competitors and otherwise, seem to either read or post on the forum. I would say forums in general, and the level of activity meant that there was, you know, always something interesting to read or fight over at any day or time of night. So for people who only are familiar with social media, can be hard, I think, to give them a sense of just how much content you can get on a very active forum with a lot of users contributing. Now a lot of people are going to Reddit, I think. But before we talk about your reasons for wanting to start your own forum, I mean, as you kind of mentioned them a little bit here, are there things in particular that stuck out as being your best memories of the underground or sites like it? I mean, what experiences and moments would you say were most rewarding from that time, either underground or either Sherdog?
Yeah, I mean, just the ability to interact with people that are, you know, that have the same passion for the sport that I did, because I didn't have that in my personal life, so yeah, you know, and there's a lot of great people associated with all those forums. There still are. You know, and a lot of humor, and you know, it was just a way to kind of break away from the day and just discuss the sport that I love with other people that have the same interest, and I enjoyed it. But you know, after time, I just felt like, you know, I think that we could offer MMA fans a better alternative.
Yeah, and I got to tell you, I mean, I started posting back in 2004, maybe even a little bit earlier than that. But I mean, it's there's so much entertaining thread and so many things that happened there over the years. You had Ian Freeman, who claimed he could beat up Manny Pacquiao in a boxing match. You had Robert Ferguson, a.k.a. the Kimbo Slice. You had the Prince of Leglocks and his Ferg Follies, or Machine May, being tortured by thugs until his spine basically melted. I mean, and you also had Lee Murray, the associate, his associate, Skullboy, challenged Chris Brennan's team to a knife fight. And Matt Linlin taunting Phil Baroni with Daisy Dukes. I mean,
yeah.
I could go on forever. My producer and I are very, very familiar.
Yeah, I remember. You know, a couple of the threads that stand out to me was the Evan Tanner thread. That used to get bumped from time to time when I think he introduced himself there for the first time, and and then there was another thread about I think it was Tito Ortiz. It was ongoing for years and years. Where I don't know. I think he may have gotten pissed off and left or something like that, and the thread just kept getting bumped.
Right.
You know, but a couple of those threads, yeah, I mean, they certainly stand out to me.
Yeah, and I definitely am grateful to Keurig Genis for providing a place where such amusing and memorable events can take place. And I'm glad that Kirk has hung on to the underground for quite some time now. I know a lot of people are disappointed with it, as I said, but I go in there. It's my main forum that I go in there besides your forum. And, you know, it's definitely something that I really, really think is important to the show, any forums, especially when it comes to MMA media, because it's a big, big part of the distribution of this show and other shows, the MMA community. I want to go into the thought process of, you know, why you started your own site. Did it grow out of frustration with status quo on other sites, or were you always someone who wanted to take a crack at creating and managing your community?
No, it really had never been something that, you know, that was a vision of mine or anything like that. It was really nothing, you know, that I ever really thought of, to be honest with you.
Right.
But as I was a member of these other forums, I would just notice things that, you know, that would turn me off as an MMA fan. Fighter bashing.
Right.
You know, the constant just toxic environment a lot of times within the forums. On some of the forums, the lack of evolution with the technology. You know, some of the forums, I felt like the ownership wasn't as attentive as they should be. I felt like, you know, some of the other forums were taking advantage of their members with, you know, in certain ways. And it just kind of grew to a point where I thought, you know what, what had happened was I actually just asked for feedback on the forum. Would anyone be interested in an alternative option? And the feedback was pretty overwhelming. So I thought, well, I'm going to give it a shot. So what I did originally was we just created a subreddit as kind of a temporary place where people could go to kind of, you know, to get away and have a place to kind of talk in a different environment. While I thought about what the vision was going to be for my site. And it's actually through that subreddit is where I met my partner. And he's just a brilliant individual in terms of, you know, technology. And, you know, he and I connected over the phone and kicked around some ideas. You know, I thought it was something that would take months to develop. And he was like, yeah, I think I can have this thing up and running in a week. And I'm like, what? And, yeah, I mean, he started developing the site and, we would, you know, talk on the phone and kind of go through things. And I think it was, you know, within like a week to 10 days, we launched and, we've been growing ever since.
How many members does your site have, do you think?
I think we have around 3,000 members right now.
Okay. And I wanted to ask you about, you know, because you look at the underground and I think obviously there are things on the underground that are far from perfect and it's very frustrating to be on there at times with the things that you mentioned, the fighter bashing and the toxic environment. But I feel a lot of empathy for Kirk as someone who has a thankless job to try to balance the competing interests of a large and diverse group of people. I mean, I always got the sense that he had a desire to try and please as many people as possible, but it often ended up with him in situations where he felt he couldn't please anyone, no matter how badly he wanted to or how hard he tried. And a lot of us have very positive memories and feelings about the forum, and I understand that he must have some mixed feelings, to put it mildly, but I'm sure a lot of things had happened where they weren't his fault and beyond his control and ended up generating a significant amount of backlash and blame that probably didn't seem fair to him. Have you ever had any personal interaction with Kirk Jenness?
I haven't, no. And, you know, and look, don't get me wrong. I mean, in my opinion, I mean, Tarek should be applauded for what he's done. I mean, I think Sherdog was the first MMA forum to launch. I think Tarek wasn't too far behind. I don't think it was the Underground when he first launched, but okay. He wasn't too far behind Sherdog when he launched. You know, they've been going strong for whatever it is, 17, 18 years now, and he's to be applauded for that. There's absolutely no, hard feelings on my end or anything. I've never had any personal interaction with him. Just from my personal experience on the forums, as an MMA fan, it wasn't just Kyrick's forum. It wasn't just the Underground. You know, I mean, I was a member of Reddit and Sherdog.
Right.
And, you know, as I would interact with him, I just felt like, I wanted to take a stab at trying to offer MMA fans a better alternative. Now, is our site for everyone? No, it's not. But, we've tried to create a culture of respecting one another and fighters. You know, we want fighters to be able to come on our site and interact and, not get some idiot behind a keyboard telling them how bad they suck or, and things like that.
Right.
And we want our members to just treat one another respectfully as well. And that was, kind of the vision that we had in the beginning. We voiced that to the members that signed up very early on. And, we've been blessed with the fact that the majority of our members that signed up early on have stuck around and have really built on the culture that we wanted to establish. And, we don't have to do a lot of moderating on the site because the members really promote a culture of, a tight-knit community that, that just doesn't need a lot of moderation. So, mm-hmm. It's been really refreshing to go through this process. And it's been a lot of work and, but it's really been rewarding too.
What sort of logistical challenges did setting up the site produce?
Well, in the beginning, we really didn't know where we were going. We had a vision. We had an idea of what the end product, what we wanted the end product to look like, but we didn't know really how mm-hmm. how we were going to get there. So we launched with a software in the beginning, and I think 6 months after we launched, we decided to totally revamp the layout and the software and everything and basically did a relaunch and sort of rebranded mm-hmm. the site. We had a couple of really talented guys that are members of the forum that are graphic artists. They helped us mm-hmm. with a lot of the graphics on the site and things like that. So it's kind of been an evolution. The first year and a half was an evolution of, us just kind of learning on the fly as we went. Logistically, the challenges have been that, we haven't sought out advertising. We don't have, partners that are funding our site in any way. So it's self-funded. And then the members voluntarily donate to the site. There's a donation button. And, I'm really continue to be surprised by how many members continue to donate to the site to help us fund it. So, we don't do advertising. We don't do clickbait. We don't do any of that bullshit. We're just trying mm-hmm. to do it, with integrity and provide our members with the best experience that we can.
Yeah, I mean, it seems as if the number one challenge for any site of this type would be attracting enough members to get the ball rolling and generating the content that needs to draw people in. Had you convinced a number of people to post there with you? I mean, how did you go about laying the foundations of the community?
Yeah, like I said, in the beginning, I had kind of kicked around the idea to people that I knew on other forums to get feedback if there was interest. And I was surprised by how many people were interested in another option. So we created the subreddit, and a lot of people migrated over there for a couple months while we developed the site and things like that. And then once we launched, a lot of the folks that were in that subreddit followed us over. I think we had several hundred members within the first couple of weeks. And that kind of got the ball rolling. And then, you know, through social media, we have a Facebook page, we have Twitter, we have Instagram. Through social media, word of mouth, doing fighter Q&As and things like that, podcasts such as yours, we've been able to try to get the word out as much as we can.
Well, and I'm sorry, I just got a phone call from somebody here. Was there sort of a word of mouth element? I mean, did you have an active role in terms of bringing new members in? I mean, you know, several hundred members within the first week is actually pretty good. Did that meet your expectations, or did it exceed it, or?
Oh, yeah, it exceeded my expectations. I mean, I never thought. But I remember the first couple of days, it was my partner and I online with, like, three people signed up. And we were like, oh, my God, you know. But then as I reached out to people within the subreddit, informed people that we had launched, and we started getting flooded with new members within the first couple of weeks. Like I said, I think we probably had within the first couple of weeks. And then those members would invite friends of theirs in, and I would, you know, do a radio show or a podcast, or our Twitter following has grown pretty significantly in the past couple of years. We're now at over 10,000 followers, and we're able to reach a lot of MMA fans through Twitter and other social media outlets. So, you know, it's just been a grind. And you know, like I said, we don't have partners that are, or advertising partners and things like that that are funding us. So, you know, the money's not there to go out and do, you know, radio advertisements and online advertisements or things like that. So we're really relying on social media and word of mouth and podcasts such as yours to get the word out.
And I appreciate that. I think that's admirable, because I think once you have organizations like the UFC and others sponsoring these forums, to me, it calls into question the objectivity of these forums, you know, the amount of influence. I appreciate independent forums and independent media, because they're so far and few between. I mean, everybody's trying to make a profit. I understand everybody's trying to make a buck. But if, you know, along the way, there exists a certain environment that often breeds subservience to the promoters and the organizations, and I think that's admirable, the model that you guys have. What about the tone of the individuals on the forums? I mean, did it differ initially from what we saw from the folks over at the Underground and Sure Dogs and other MMA sites in any specific ways? I mean, what sort of atmosphere have you attempted to foster, you know, up until now, to this point?
Well, the environment that we tried to foster was exactly what the name of our website is, you know, the MMA community, a real community, where, you know, people can discuss MMA and whatever. You know, we have an off-topic forum where people discuss politics, religion, and you know, a lot of other hot topics that, you know, can quickly go off the rails, as I've seen on other forums and social media outlets like Facebook and Twitter. But we tried to promote a culture in the beginning of just simply respecting one another and treating people decent. I mean, it was really that simple. And we tried to really lean on the members to help establish the community standards, you know, the rules within the forum. And we actually had an ongoing thread where we just opened it up to the members of what would you like to see? I mean, this is your forum.
Right.
What's the culture that you want to establish here? And that's just kind of how we've went about things. And the members have been so awesome with really buying into that and treating one another decent. And, you know, I mean, look, is there a threat about politics or religion where, you know, an obtuse comment or something like that will be made? Sure. But it's not like other forums that I've experienced where it goes on for 20, 30, 40 pages of people back and forth calling one another names and, you know, making personal threats and attacks against one another. That's just not the vibe that we have on our forum. It's extremely welcoming to new members. If someone were to take 30 seconds and sign up and create a thread in the new member introduction forum, within 30 minutes there'd be, you know, 20, 30 people that would, hey, welcome to the forums, and linking other threads that are helpful, you know, like just explaining the features of our forum, how to navigate things. You know, it's just extremely helpful. The people are extremely helpful, and they bought into the culture. We have an ongoing Secret Santa thread going on right now for the holidays.
Right.
Somebody started this last year. And the participation in that Secret Santa thread kind of really defines our forum. You know, people are really just giving to one another and caring of one another. Some members fall on hard times. The community stepped up and donated money through GoFundMes and things like that. We're just really proud of the culture that we've built. And, you know, I don't want to go overboard and anything like that. We have our, you know, we have our issues just like everyone else does. We just try to be more involved. You know, my partner and I are extremely involved in interacting in the forum on a day-to-day basis. And we try to, you know, kind of keep things, you know, keep the culture going along with the members. And I just think it's a really positive vibe, and I think that's kind of what differentiates us from other forums.
What sort of enforcement policies and rules do people follow in order to keep posting there? I mean, is it fairly straightforward in terms of what is and isn't allowed?
Yeah, so we have our community standards posted, which is, you know, a TOS, and
right.
And we have that posted, and it's very self-explanatory. You know, don't get me wrong, we've had to ban people from time to time. We have people sign up from other forums that, you know, want to try to troll our forum because, you know, they think that they're entitled to some space on the internet that we're not entitled to or whatever. And, you know, we have issues like that from time to time. You know, but really, for the most part, our rules is just don't be an asshole. And you know, I mean, it's a place to come on and get away from reality for a little bit and talk about a sport that we love, or, you know, about, you know, just day-to-day issues like world news or whatever in the off-topic forum. It's just a place to get away from reality, and I don't think it's necessary. Look, if you want to be an asshole, there are a lot of platforms that you can go online and and do that, you know, whether that's Twitter, Facebook, other forums, whatever. But we're not going to sacrifice our integrity to increase our traffic. It's just not going to happen. And, you know, we voiced that in the beginning, that we're not in it for the money. You know, we're self-funding this thing, and the members are donating as they can, and they're extremely generous. But we're not going to put pop-up ads and Google Play ads all over the place to make a buck, and we're not going to sign up with, you know, advertising partners that don't make sense, you know, and things like that. And we're just not going to associate ourselves with that kind of stuff. And if that, you know, impacts our traffic, then it is what it is.
Well, you know, the underground form has what's known as a say it to a person's face standard, but that quickly became unworkable as there were competing ideas about what that meant or whether it was even useful as a metric in the first place. And if I'm talking about a public figure in an honest and unflattered way, I don't expect that I would approach them and simply make that the same statements that I would online. It would be strange and awkward and unlike the way most human interactions play out. But it would also be rude to offer criticisms that I might discuss with other people who are actively seeking those sorts of conversations. Can you tell the people listening a little bit about how you've approached the issue of determining what content is appropriate and what isn't? I mean, that can't be an easy judgment to make.
It's not. And I mean, it's really, I mean, well, look, I mean, we're not going to allow anyone to dox another member of our site. You know, if you post personal information about another member of our site, you're going to immediately be banned. Everyone's aware of that. We've had it happen on a couple of occasions, and we've had to ban people. But for the most part, people are respectful of that. You know, that's one thing that's an instant ban on our site is if you post personal information of another member, especially in a malicious fashion, you know, you're going to be gone. But, you know, in terms of posting content, we don't allow people to post copyrighted content. You know, people are aware of it. They typically don't do it. If they do, you know, we'll edit the thread and you know, eliminate that. But, you know, for the rest of it, you know, people just really, our membership tends to follow our community standards and kind of the vision that we had in the beginning. You know, we'll have fight night threads during a UFC or a Bellator event that'll be, in some cases, 100 pages long. And I bet if you went back and looked through all of those, you wouldn't find 20 posts that you would consider, you know, malicious or attacking of another member. We like to consider, like, our fight night threads, for example, just a bunch of MMA fans watching the fights together in a virtual bar. You know, we all post about what we're drinking, you know, what food we fix for the night. It's just a real community and friendship of people that have gotten to know one another through an online platform. And we don't really have to police the site like a lot of other forums have to go in and do a lot of moderation because the members kind of moderate the forum for us, really.
Yeah.
And I know that sounds, you know, rainbows and Skittles and all that, but it's really the reality. And I mean, I think from your experience, hopefully you've witnessed that as well.
Yeah, absolutely. The underground forum, I know from personal experience, I've been, you know, perhaps deservedly so, roasted on that site, personal information, my Social Security was posted. I mean, I could tell you all sorts of things. Same thing took place on Fight Sport. And so I'm used to that almost like. And I almost think that sometimes, you know, if you put yourself out there, you almost deserve it in a sense. But, you know, there's been a lot of abuses on the underground and Fight Sport. Sure Dog, I never really cared for, to be honest with you, but that's just my personal opinion. But, you know, it seems like the underground has an atmosphere of holding up fighters as a superior class of a poster and even person. I mean, I think Keurig's desire to foster an environment where professionals kept posting determined his ideas about what was acceptable to say, which in turn created an atmosphere of apparent favoritism, privilege, and hypocrisy, if you ask some people. You know, it also seemed to encourage fighters and other figures in the sport to threaten to leave as a way to silence criticism or dissent, which, you know, I think created a backlash and did not make those fighters look good. I mean, ultimately, you have to choose to be a forum that attracts fighters or fans, and I don't know if those things can really coexist or you know, if one group will always feel unfairly treated, you know, who knows. Do you have any fighters that currently post on the MMA community?
Yeah, like I said, Justin Gagey will come in and post from time to time. We have a lot of Tim Kennedy will come on and post from time to time. We have a lot of retired pro fighters that, that post on the forum. Lay Remedios or Lee Remedios, who was a former UFC fighter, is one of our moderators.
Okay.
So yeah, we have a lot of fighters that interact on the forum, and you know what is written in our community standards is, you know, fighters, please provide the same amount of respect to the members as we expect them to give you. And, you know, so we're not trying to, you know, to give anybody preferential treatment or anything like that. We're just trying to kind of foster a culture of everyone treating one another with respect. And, you know, so far it's worked. Now, look, I'm not bashing the Underground at all. I mean, like I said, I applaud Kirik for what he's built there. I think it's impressive. I just think that, you know, that everything has to evolve, right? And I think that there's a lot of great members that still post there. A lot of funny people, entertaining people, Touch and Card are some members that stand out to me. You know, there's a lot of good people that still post there. It was just for me, you know, I just felt like this was something that I wanted to do because I wanted to see if we could build a real community with a culture, a different culture than everyone else. And, you know, so far we've done that. Now, has it possibly stunted our growth? Maybe. But like I said, we're not going to sacrifice quality for quantity.
Yeah, you know, and I do think that you could make an argument that the colored name system on the Underground may have created a sort of stratified society where people who perceive themselves to have a greater tenure status look down on those they thought were beneath them in terms of, treating them the same way and whatnot. I mean, we are on the Underground, we actually have a pro account for the radio show. But I act as if I'm just like one of the regular fans there. I don't act like I'm some sort of a celebrity or something like that. Have you tried to avoid that sort of system on your site? I mean, are all the members treated the same, or do you have any kind of membership tier that differentiates people who are figures in the sport from those who are simply just fans?
No, we the first 100 members that signed up, they have a tag below their screen name that says first 100. Pro fighters have a gold tag below their name that says pro fighter. Amateur fighters have a tag below their screen name that says amateur fighter. It's a silver name. So there are designations, but I've never really experienced, you know, anyone saying, oh, look at my sign up date or look at my status. I don't think I've experienced that one time in the 3 years we've been doing this.
Yeah. Those that are in the opposite direction, I mean, that have those comments and, you know, they point to their sign in date and, the moderators, I mean, that's a big thing, too. I mean, you look at the moderator specifically. I mean, the Underground at one point was a huge forum, and it felt like the moderators' positions were given out as a reward to appease people. And it's just sort of a negative attitude, I think. You know, if you're giving a moderator position to someone because you want to appease them, maybe because they've been at the site a long time, it doesn't look good. And we saw several Underground forum moderators act inappropriately, and we've had several members on this program, like Dan Baker, Dreamer MMA.
Yeah, Dreamer MMA.
Yeah, we've had him on the program before talking about moderator abuses and fair moderators and whatnot. I mean, I guess you'll have that on every single site, you know, but it seems like your site in particular is even keel, and you don't have really any of the abuses that we saw on the underground forum.
Well, to be fair, you know, we have a lot less members than a forum like the underground, right? If we had 100,000 members, could we try to continue to, promote the culture that we have now? Sure, we could, but would it be as easy?
Right.
No, it's not as easy when you have 100,000 members. You know, so to be fair to those guys, you know, they're trying to control a much larger membership than we are.
Right.
You know, what we did with our moderators is we decided, pretty early in the beginning, that we were going to rotate moderators. Every 6 months, we picked people that were interactive on the site and online a lot, and we would just rotate and give everybody an opportunity to get invested in the forum. Really no rhyme or reason for who we chose. It was just, you know, who do we feel has the temperament for it? Who is really interactive? Who's online a lot? We looked at, you know, which of our members post in other time zones, like Europe, for example. So we have moderators that are interacting, you know, late at night when folks here in the U.S. are sleeping. And so we rotated around a few times until we kind of landed on this group of moderators that we have right now that you probably know some of these guys from over there at the UG, like Leroy Medios, MMA Hawk is another one. We landed on some guys that you know, just do a really good job at it, and we were kind of like, well, you know what, we're going to stick with what we have for right now. And the thing that I like about our group of moderators is you don't even really know they're moderators. They're just other members that post on the forum. And, you know, if they didn't have a moderator tag underneath their name, you wouldn't even know. You know, the way that we moderate is we're able to edit a post, and we try to do things really transparently. So if somebody will make a lewd comment, you know, or something that, you know, that breaks our community standards or whatever, I'll just edit the post and, you know, explain, you know, why I edited it, ask them to, you know, not to do that again or whatever. And everyone's really receptive.
Sure.
You know, we never have somebody come back and say, well, you know, screw you, why'd you do that? Or it's just not like that, you know? And like I said, you know, the sense of Kirk and those guys are dealing with a much larger membership than we are. We're a more tight-knit community.
Right.
But when people sign up, it's not a community where we're so tight-knit that when someone signs up, they feel like an outcast. Because when people sign up, our members are really diligent about welcoming them to the community and trying to help them navigate the forums. Because, you know, our technology is pretty state-of-the-art. It's different. And it takes some getting used to. And our members try to help folks out with that. And, you know, so it's just a different environment than, you know, a forum like the UG or SureDog that has upwards of 100,000 members.
Yeah, I want to kind of wrap it up in just a few minutes here. But I got to ask you, Wild, what would you say – or what would you describe as the goal of the MMA community? Is it to try and recapture, replace something that the underground may have lost? Is it intended as a place to foster a certain, you know, type of discussion which cannot easily be had on social media? What would you say is the goal, the ultimate goal of the MMA community?
Yeah, well, Well, the ultimate goal is really the tagline that we've had since day one is we want to offer people a platform to treat, you know, to discuss MMA and other topics respectfully. And like I said, if you want to be an asshole, you can go on Facebook, Twitter, other forums and do it all day long. We just don't want our forum to be about that. We want our forum to be a place where somebody logs on and chills out for a couple hours and just has a good time. And that's really what we've established. And, you know, we want to provide our members the best experience possible. We want them to be able to log on and not deal with a bunch of drama and bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
And we want to provide them with the best technology, which I think hands down we have the best technology of any forum, you know, in terms of the features that we offer our members.
Mm-hmm.
And we're not doing it for the money, you know. You know, we're not, like I said, we're not in it to be owned by the UFC or to be partnered with somebody that's going to pay us 10 grand a month to, you know, to flood our site with, you know, advertisements.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're just trying to provide people a place where they can just come online and chill out for a little bit.
I love it. What would you say is the biggest lesson you'd learned so far?
I think the biggest lesson is probably convincing people to step out of their comfort zone is really difficult.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have people mm-hmm. that are so used to, people that are so used to clicking an app on it, you know, every day
mm-hmm.
for years and years and years that, you know, it's hard to convince them that we don't need an app because our software is mobile friendly, right? They want to be able to click a
mm-hmm.
button. Well, even if I explain to them, we'll just bookmark the page and that will create a button that you can push that takes you right to our site and you're already logged in and it's just like an app. Well, it's not an app. So for
mm-hmm.
them, they're like, well, I'm used to clicking an app, you know, or
mm-hmm.
I'm used to logging onto this website every day, no matter, you know, no matter how much I bitch and complain about it, it's where I feel comfortable, right? Or, you know, so convincing people to just try our forum out has been the most difficult. But once I'm able to do that, and I get someone to sign up, they usually stay and become really active in the forums. It's just convincing them to do it and get out of their comfort zone a little bit.
Last question. What would you say the future holds for the site and forums in general? I mean, where do you expect your site to be years from now, and what goals do you have in terms of expanding the site's reach and maintaining the user base you've built up?
That's a tough one, Bob. You know, I mean, I don't know. You know, social media has really,
mm-hmm.
Really put a dent on forums. You know, it's
mm-hmm.
it's so easy for people to post in a Facebook thread or on Twitter. And you know, the funny thing is, you'll see people on Twitter that have 13 followers, and they'll tweet
right.
out posts all night about, you know, UFC 217. And I'm like, well,
yeah.
who are you interacting with? Who's reading that and then commenting back to you, right? Nobody, really.
Right.
You know, so, but, you know, people choose those platforms a lot of times over forums. Now, I do feel like at some point forums will kind of make a comeback. I do. Because
mm-hmm.
I think at the end of the day, you don't get that interaction on other social media outlets that you do get on a forum. And I think in a lot of ways people need that. So, I mean, but for our long-term goals, our goals really are just to continue to grow the forum as best as we can without sacrificing our integrity. You know, like I said, we're not going to sell out our integrity to make a couple bucks. We're just not going to do it. You know, I mean, there's no need to. We're not starving trying to fund our forum. You know, we're able to fund it out of pocket and
mm-hmm.
member donations. There's no reason for us to do that. So if we have 100,000 members 10 years from now, great. If we have 10,000, hey, you know, it is what it is. As long as we're able to maintain the culture and provide the people that have been loyal to us, our members, a good experience. And that's really what it's all about for us.
Well, folks, I strongly encourage you to check out the MMAcommunity.com and the forum in particular. During the live stream of this program, this whole hour, Wild, we've had your forum up on the live screen so people can see that if they're not members already. If you're someone who has appreciated sites like the Underground Forum, I'm certainly sure that you'll be able to find content on the MMA community which enhances your enjoyment of MMA as a whole. It's been great having you on Carson's Corner with me tonight. Before I let you go, though, is there anything we need to give out to people? Any more information that you have and you want to direct people to? Anything out there?
Yeah, absolutely, Bob. I appreciate you having me on, giving me the opportunity to talk a little bit about the forum. If people are looking for a place with state-of-the-art technology and other great MMA fans to discuss the sport, come give us a look. It's the MMAcommunity.com. We're the MMA community on Twitter and on Facebook and on Instagram. Takes 30 seconds to sign up, free of charge. Sign up, post a thread in the new member introduction forum, and get involved. We'll see you around.
Thank you so much for your support of my program. We hope to have you on again in the future, and I hope to keep on being a part of the MMA community. So, Wild, thank you so much, and I'll talk to you sometime down the road.
Hey, thanks, Bob. Promote your stuff on our site anytime.
I will, sir. Thank you very much. Have a good night. We appreciate it. And it's about 9 o'clock or so. I'm going to take a brief time out here on Carson's Corner. When we come back, I want to talk about this, the Bob Follis situation here, the death of Robert Follis. I want to talk about that and talk about some other stuff here on Carson's Corner. We're going to end the show a little bit early tonight. We're going to end at about 9:15 Eastern time. So just keep it right here on Carson's Corner. Ladies and gentlemen, you like my accent there? It's great. I speak many, many languages, as you could tell. All right, we'll be right back, folks.
Many questions we have as we grow. It's hard to find answers to what we don't know. But sometimes there's someone to whom we can turn to teach us life lessons, help us to learn just what's important and what matters most. Much more than our teacher, and we call them coach. Right there to guide us when we need a hand. They reach deep inside us and help us to stand. Lead by example in words and in deeds, and show us the courage we need to succeed.
Okay, we're back live here on Carson's Corner. Big thanks to Wild, owner and operator of the MMA Community Forum. I encourage you to join that forum and post on that great forum. And enjoy yourself. Enjoy the technology. He's right about that. There's a lot of stuff you can do on that website that you maybe can't do on other websites, and that's very, very user-friendly. All right, I want to talk about the death of Bob Follis, Robert Follis. He was a coach at Extreme Couture. Prior to that, he was a coach at Team Quest. He was a jiu-jitsu guy, and he was, you know, by all accounts, a very, very good guy. You know, I haven't heard anybody talk about how they don't like him and he was bad to people and this and that. I mean, that seems to be the consensus of everybody. And, you know, with MMA coaches, it's not like there's a lot of hated MMA coaches. I mean, every single MMA coach that I've heard of, you know, Greg Jackson, Javier Mendez, although, you know, Javier Mendez had a big feud with Josh Koscheck. But for the most part, I would say you don't hear about what scumbags MMA coaches really are. They're generally men of respect that work with a lot of fighters, and they have the utmost respect of the people. I mean, I've met some of these guys. You know, Trevor Whitman, you know, is I think for the most part, I haven't heard anybody come out and say that they don't think he's a good guy, they don't think he's a good coach. I mean, I'm not saying that some of these fighters don't feel that way, but they haven't publicly said anything. And, you know, you got to assume that these people are men of integrity, and I certainly believe that to be the case. You know, Ricardo Laborio is one of the nicest guys you'll meet. He's a stellar reputation. You know, some other coaches, Mark Henry, Henry Hoost, you know, what's the Duke Rufus? All these guys have very good reputations. But Bob Follis is someone that he's done a lot of interviews, and I remember listening to him on MMA Junkie Radio. He sometimes would co-host that show with those guys in Las Vegas. I think he lived in Las Vegas, and I sometimes have like a sixth sense about these things. You know, I like to think of myself as someone who has a good intuition, and I knew that there was just something depressing about this guy. Like, I knew that this guy was, like, depressed. You could almost, like, you could feel it. You know, you could feel the void in someone's soul. And I remember saying to myself one day, I'm not joking around, I'm telling you, I told myself this. I didn't post this publicly. I'm like, this guy's going to wind up killing himself, or he's going to wind up dying or something like that. I don't know his situation. I have no idea. I don't know anybody from, you know, his neck of the woods. I've never interviewed him. I have no idea. Okay. But I could tell that something was going on, and he had left Team Quest about 4 or 5 years ago, and nobody really knows why. I'm sure people really in the know, but I don't know. And he left Extreme Couture after Kevin Lee lost to Tony Ferguson, and it was just weird. You know, it's like very, very few people knew why, and I don't know if it was just him or, you know, if he had a disagreement with the gym. But, you know, when he left Extreme Couture, it seemed like it was amicable. I mean, Randy posted and I think Follis posted that it was great working with them. It seemed like there wasn't any bad blood or hostility. You know, it's not like Ricardo Laborio, who left ATT. Ricardo left ATT, and you got to sort of wonder what happened there. He didn't really specify what happened. He kind of left abruptly, and you know, who knows? You just don't know, and it's you know, you begin to speculate. That's my thoughts. I'll probably talk more about this. I may make a post about this on the Underground Forum. I wonder if there was narcotics involved with this too. People that are facing depression often turn to narcotics. That could be a whole thing here. I don't know, but I think the story needs to be told. I really do. You know, the story needs to be told, because we have compassion when it comes to suicide in this country. Something I said on my political show earlier, just the amount of compassion when it comes to people that commit suicide. And I'm not saying that we shouldn't have compassion for people that commit suicide, but we also got to start to point the finger sometimes and say, you know what, you're around dysfunctional people that are aiding and abetting you, and that shouldn't happen. So, all right, we got UFC coming up. The UFC, what is it? I forget. to the pay-per-view. What is it? It's 5,000 events now. You can't keep track of these events. Is it a fight night? Is it a pay-per-view? Is it a all I know, it's Holly Holm versus Cyborg. And Cyborg is doing the media rounds. And Ray Albee is actually a fan of the program. And we may try to get Ray to give us Cyborg. But I wouldn't be able to interview Cyborg for like 5 minutes, like, you know, like these other shows. I'd have to interview for an hour. She needs to be interviewed for an hour. Okay, we need to really ask her the very, very difficult questions here. Cyborg is not out of the woods yet, I think, in terms of USADA testing. But in any event, maybe we'll try to get her on. But she's facing Holly Holm. Very, very intriguing fight there. I hope Cyborg can make weight. She has made weight her last couple fights, and she should be able to put away Holly, you know, maybe in the fourth or fifth round. I don't know who else is on that card. But you also got Floyd Mayweather that's apparently trying to go to the UFC. I don't want to see it. I think it's embarrassing. I think you know, this guy has so much money. What is it? It's an addiction to money this guy has. And he may even come back to boxing at 41 years old because there's another fighter that is approaching his record. And so we're going to see this guy just you know, he doesn't care about his legacy as far as fighting. He just wants to make money. And if he's going to go into mixed martial arts, it's going to be really embarrassing to see that, I think. I hope he reconsiders. But Dana White is close to him, and Dana White, oh, Dana, you're a scumbag. You're a piece of garbage if you don't want Floyd Mayweather. You're not a fan of MMA if you don't want Floyd Mayweather to come. You know, you're not a fan of MMA unless you agree with Dana White's business objectives, or you're not a serious analyst. So that's it. You know, those are some news items that took place over the last couple weeks or so, last couple days or so, I should say. So that's it for this week's edition of Carson's Corner. I'm going to wrap it up here. Thank you so much for joining us. Thank you so much to Wild from the MMA community. And we'll be back at you next week, folks, working on some big guests, as always, here on Carson's Corner. Make sure to friend me on Facebook at facebook.com/BobCarsonMMA. Also, make sure to follow me on Twitter, twitter.com/BobCarsonMMA. And follow me right here on Blog Talk Radio, blogtalkradio.com/Carson's Corner. Until next time, ladies and gentlemen, show some respect.
When we go out to eat, we never agree on where to go.
I want burgers!
Pizza!
Tacos it is.
The one thing we do agree on is we all want unlimited high-speed data. That's why we switched to MetroPCS.
Stop by MetroPCS with the whole family and get 4 lines with unlimited LTE data for just $100, period. MetroPCS. Wireless. Figured out.
Coverage not available in some areas. Offers require porting of number not currently active on T-Mobile network. During congestion, the fraction of customers using more than 35 gigs per month may notice reduced speeds. Video streams up to 40p. No tethering. See store for details and terms and conditions.
When we go out to eat, we never agree on where to go.
I want burgers!
Pizza!
Tacos it is.
The one thing we do agree on is we all want unlimited high-speed data. That's why we switched to MetroPCS.
Stop by MetroPCS with the whole family and get 4 lines with unlimited LTE data for just $100, period. MetroPCS. Wireless. Figured out.
Coverage not available in some areas. Offers require porting of number not currently active on T-Mobile network. During congestion, the fraction of customers using more than 35 gigs per month may notice reduced speeds. Video streams up to 40p. No tethering. See store for details and terms and conditions.